If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. While you're turning there, I don't know if you have heard, but I read something somewhere where there's a new form of tennis that is going to be included in the upcoming Olympics. And I'm not sure of what kind of tennis it is. All I know is it's sort of like tennis with all. It's called quiet tennis, and it's like regular tennis except it doesn't have the racket. I heard those sighs. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness, for loving us, for taking care of us, for sending your son to die for us. We love you. And it is our desire in our gathering together today to exalt you and to praise you and to magnify you. And we feel like we could do it better as a group together this morning than we could do it individually, separate. So God, we pray that you'd help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray that you would receive our worship by the help of the Spirit to bring glory to your name. Use your word this morning to speak to our hearts. Instruct us in the things that you have written down, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, amen. Chapter 1 of the book of Genesis details for us the creative work of God that I think transpired over 6 literal 24-hour days. We are told in the opening words of God's Word that God created the heavens and the earth, and He created it in a very crude way, without form, void, in the dark, underwater, and then went about forming this created earth and framing it and then filling it. And in the work of God, we see the revelation of God. There is a great difference between the Creator and His creation. God existed before creation. God is self-existent, and He is alone self-existent. The eternal God is the only uncreated being, and He is not dependent on anyone or anything. And we learned that the height of creation was in that God created humanity. He created male and female, and He created them in the likeness of God and in the image of God. God made man on the sixth day, according to a divine plan, according to a divine pattern, and according to a divine purpose. And everything that God has created, He made to declare God's glory. But it was only man that was created to reflect God and to represent God here on earth. Chapter 2 begins with the details of the seventh day. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, holified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. That's as far as we'll get this morning, but that is God's word, and all God's people said, amen. Man is the final work of creation. He is the ultimate work of creation. He is the final work of creation. Man is the final stroke of the brush that God puts on his canvas. But there is something that follows that we need to look at. And what follows is the resting of God on the seventh day. What does that mean? And what does it mean to us? Let me try to explain these verses following three paths. Number one, the seventh day recorded for us in Genesis 2 was marked by completion. Thus, the heavens and the earth were what? They were finished. And all of the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, concluded his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. This word in verse number 2, the word rested, God rested on the seventh day. It is the Hebrew word that means to cease. We are told here that this seventh day was the result of God being finished, God being done, God completing his work of creation. It is a day, the seventh day is a day where the completion of creation is recognized. God made the heavens and the earth, amen? And he filled the earth with vegetation. He filled the earth with birds and fish and animals and insects and humanity. And at this point, when we come to day number 7, the work of creation is complete. The creative work of God ended at the end of day 6. And on day 7, there was no more work of creation needed. The seventh day was not another day of creation. The seventh day was a day of rest, of ceasing. And I would add here that God is not resting or ceasing because he is simply exhausted from all of his creative activity the previous 6 days. God does not get weak and God does not get tired, and this massive work of creation has not made him weak or has not wearied him. The Bible says God does not sleep, nor does God slumber. So the idea of rest is not due to the weariness of God. The idea of rest is not that God ceased from working because he's tired. It's not even that God ceases from working. Because God has not ceased from working. The creative work of God, the work of creation has ceased. And it ceased because why? Because God was done. God had finished all of that which He desired and willed to create, and He was done. And being done, He stopped. In other words, the work of creation has been brought to a divine conclusion. God brought to completion all of that which He had set out in the beginning to create. It's not that God ran out of time. It's God's done. And the principle of this revelation is that God always completes what He starts. God always finishes what He begins. There's always an end to all of God's beginnings. There are no uncompleted works with God. What God begins, God completes. He brings this work of creation to a conclusion. And the work of creation is never to be done again. What God did on day one, or what God did on day six, or what God did on day four, is to never be repeated. It's done. It's finished. There will never be another day like these 6 days again. The original foundation of laying the work of creation is never to be relaid. The creative work is done. The heavens are completed, the earth is completed, and all the host of them, simply meaning everything in the heavens and everything on the earth has been created by God, and He's finished. But God does continue to work. He continues to work on the seventh day. He just doesn't continue the work of creation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Even on this seventh day, this rest doesn't mean that God is inactive or idle. God, even on the seventh day, is holding everything that He has created together. All things consist by His power. God is maintaining the existence of everything that He has created. He is upholding the entirety of creation. So God continues to work on the seventh day. In the work of providence, God continues to preserve and to govern His creation. God sustains the world by His power. He governs it by His providence. He cherishes it and propagates all creatures. He is constantly at work, even while He rests on the seventh day. So God's rest here is not a rest from all activity. It simply is. God has ceased and He has stopped all of His creative works. And at the end of the 6 days, the heaven and the earth were complete from all of God's creative work, and God ceased. He rested. Amen? Number two. Not only is this seventh day marked by completion, but the seventh day seems to be marked by celebration. This rest. It also carries with it the meaning of not just completion, but the meaning of celebration. And we begin to see here in the text that this seventh day is different than the 6 days that preceded it. In other words, there are several things that are different, that make this seventh day unique from the first 6 days. Every other day, day one through day six, has begun with God saying something. Each of the first 6 days began with God commanding something to be done. Each of the previous 6 days have begun with God willing that something take place. The Bible tells us that day one through day six, God speaks and it's done. But on the seventh day, there is no such command. There is no creative activity. We see that on the seventh day, God rests. Or, I would put it this way. On the seventh day, we see God admiring, beholding, approving, appreciating, endorsing, revering, regarding, valuing, viewing, and celebrating the works of His hands. What God has created, God evaluates it as being good. And on the sixth day, He says it's very good. Amen. And it was good and very good because the God who created is good and very good. So God has finished creating. Everything has been created that is to be created in the first 6 days. And now on the seventh day, He stands back and He beholds all that He has created. And He sees that everything that he has created either declares His glory or images who He really is. And He celebrates. The celebration is that God has commanded everything to be, and He has ordered everything into existence. And God has arranged it, He has organized it, He has placed everything precisely and perfectly as God willed it to be. There's nothing wrong with creation at this day. It is perfect. It is God, divine, created in perfection. It is precisely what God intended it to be. So, this seventh day is a day of recognizing God and His creative works. It is a day where God's goodness and His power and His infinite wisdom is celebrated. And who is it celebrated by? By God. I would say something here that I hope that you may write down. We understand that Christianity is by faith receiving Christ as Savior, but I would say that Christianity also includes acknowledging God Almighty as the Creator of everything. So this seventh day, it is God's stamp of approval on His completed creation. It is finished. It is complete. It is good. And we would say this: when God is done with His creative work, it lacks absolutely nothing. Everything started, was completed. God has accomplished it all. He has accomplished it all to His glory, and it is all very good. And the idea here that I think is that on this seventh day, God is in complete and full satisfaction, or God stands in utter delight of what He has done. And He ceases from the creative work. He stops on this seventh day creating. He looks at creation. He delights in it, and He's satisfied with it. He finds joy. He finds delight. He finds a certain fulfillment and satisfaction in his own accomplishments. Let me put it this way. God finishes his masterpiece of creation, and he steps back on day seven, and he delights in what he has accomplished, and he enjoys the finished product. And it is ultimately, get this, it is ultimately satisfaction in himself. I don't want to put words in God's mouth, so I don't want to be irreverent here. But God looks at creation and he could very well say, I did that. That was my hands, my work, my will. I did that. And it is magnificent. Now, let me add something here. At this point in Genesis, there is absolutely nothing is said concerning man obligated to keep the Sabbath. Nothing. It's simply not here. What I'm trying to get you to see is on the seventh day, it's all God. It's all God. It is his creation. It is his work. And it is his celebration of himself. It is a day that is in Genesis 2, 1 through 3, related to God alone. He ceases from his work. He delights in himself. And he delights in what he has made. There is no command in Genesis 2, 1 through 3 that commands man to rest on the seventh day. That's not in Genesis 2. There is no Sabbath rule or law given here. What is it? It's just a day that God is to be remembered as creating the universe. And he created it all in 6 days. And when he was finished, he receives the praise. And what he did was good. What he did was to the degree of perfection. And he completely delights in it. That's what makes this seventh day special and significant. Now, you Sabbatarians, just hang on. We'll get to you in a minute. Number three. The seventh day is marked by completion. The seventh day is marked by celebration. Number three, the seventh day is marked by consecration. Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day. And he sanctified it. He set it apart. He holified it. Because that in it, in this seventh day, he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. So the seventh day that is associated with the completion of the creative work that is celebrated by God in all that he has done, it is a day that God blesses and that God sanctifies. In other words, the seventh day, as I've already said, is unlike any of the other 6 days. It is a unique day. Because there's no other day that God has blessed. Say amen. This is the only day that God places a blessing on. It is the only day that God sets apart, sanctifies. It is the only day that God places his favor on. It's the only day that is made holy. All of creation occurred in 1 6-day period. Not billions and billions and billions of years. 6 days. And then on this seventh day, God took this day and blessed it. And God sanctifies it. In other words, God pulls it away from all of the other 6 days. And God elevates this day. And God sets this day apart as a reminder. The reminder of what? That God in 6 days created the universe. In other words, it has not evolved. It is not evolving now. It is not. The earth is not. The world is not randomly creating itself. The creation was complete, and God sets apart the seventh day to be a day that would acknowledge that creation happened and that it was done. Do you get that? If you believe in evolution, you have to believe there are things that are continuing to evolve. It's done. It's finished. The seventh day is a day set apart to remember and to acknowledge that God Elohim, God is the creator of all things. And so what God does, He sets up a pattern of time. He sets up a pattern of life. Because you and I, and most of the world, count time by days and weeks. Say amen. What is today? What is today? Sunday. What was yesterday? Saturday. What was the day before? Friday. What's tomorrow? Monday. We are confined and count time by days. And seven of those days make a week. So there's some sort of order here with the work of creation. And all of us go through time, right? If we are blessed, we will get through 2024, 365 days, 52 weeks. But I want you to know something. Every week, God sends you a reminder. Every week. Because every week has a Saturday. Saturday is the seventh day. Sunday is the first day. Say amen. So every week of every year, God sends us a reminder. And we are reminded every Saturday. We should be reminded every seventh day, every Saturday, that God is our creator. Every Saturday. And I know we probably haven't even thought about this. It's Saturday. That's my day off. It's Saturday is the day that we are to acknowledge that God is the creator. Saturday is a memorial to the completed work of God in creation. And I hope that all of us here believe that God created everything in 6 days and then He ceased creating on the seventh day. And for that accomplishment of creation, as glorious as it is, God deserves praise. So the weekend, my weekend, your weekend, is all for God's glory. Say amen. Saturday, yesterday, gives testimony to you as God, as your creator. Sunday, today, gives testimony to you, God is your redeemer. Because He is resurrected. You with me? On the seventh day, God rested because He was finished with all of the work of creation. On the first day, Christ arose because He was finished with all of the work of our redemption. Are you getting this? So Saturday, one every week, 52 every year, Saturday, is the perpetual witness that God created all that there is created, and He finished it. And as the glorious God of creation, Sunday is also a perpetual witness that God has finished my redemption and your redemption, and He not only is God of creation, but He is the God of our salvation. And you know the sad thing? Despite every single one of those weekly reminders, the society that you and I live in, most people don't care about either one of them concerning God. They think Saturday's their day, and Sunday's their day to do whatever they want to do. Well, Saturday's the day you acknowledge God's creativeness. Sunday is a day that God's people acknowledge His resurrection and His salvation. Say amen. Every week has a Saturday, 52 of them every year, and they faithfully remind us every single week, God is our Creator. Every week has a Sunday, 52 of them every year, and every Sunday faithfully reminds us that the crucified, resurrected Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Redeemer. And you have not ever lived a single week, because not a week goes by without a witness to you. Say amen. Not a week goes by that does not serve as a witness to you. Not a week goes by without a testimony given to you. Not a week goes by without a memorial to the creation of God. God has created everything, and every Saturday for all of your life has been a reminder of that truth. And no week ever goes by without a witness, a testimony, or a memorial to your salvation and your justification before God every Sunday. Listen, these are not just days. These are reminders of the goodness and the greatness of who God is. And we who are His creatures and we who are His redeemed people should acknowledge who He is. And we should marvel in what He's done. And we should praise His name to the very extent of our abilities. Amen. All over the world, yesterday was Saturday. All over the world, today is Sunday. And there's a Saturday and a Sunday every week all over the world. And God has designed it so that everyone once a week during the normal routine of life would face the fact that all of creation is the work of God. He did it in 6 days, and when it was done, He was done. Now, what time is it? I see it. I have a clock. I want you to notice one more unique aspect of this seventh day. Every other day, the first day through the sixth day, there is reference to morning or evening and morning one day. You do not find that reference on the seventh day. There's no ending given to this seventh day. There is with the other 6 days, but this seems to be, to me, to be an unending day. Which means, I think, there is to be unending, unceasing recognition of God, recognition of His creative work, recognition of His glory. There is to be a continual, ongoing, ceaseless worship of God. The praise of God, the praise of God is not to be confined to a single day. No, no, it is not to be forgotten until every seventh day reminds you. No, every day is a day to glorify your God. God is to be constantly on your hearts. God is to be constantly on our minds. He is to be recognized in everything that we see and every day of life that we are given. He is to be recognized. Every blade of grass that we see, every flower that we see, every time we see the sun, every time that we see the stars and the moon, every time we see our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to remember and we are to appreciate and we are to recognize the greatness of God. You don't just do that on Sunday at church. Every day, this endless recognition of God's work, every day is to be remembered that He is the Creator and we are nothing more than His creation. Nothing more. And as His creation to our Creator, we are to act accordingly. Say amen. Now, are there subsequent teachings on the Sabbath in later portions of Scripture? Yes, there are. This Sabbath, this rest, this seventh day will transition into what Scripture later clarifies about the Sabbath day. Okay? And then the Sabbath day in the New Testament is going to transition into a person, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of the Sabbath. Are you with me? So I'm not denying there is later teachings in Scripture about a Sabbath day. I'm not denying that this Sabbath day, we will eventually find our rest in Christ. But that happens after the fall. And there is no doubt a connection with that to this. But what I'm trying to say is that Genesis 2, 1 through 3 says nothing about that. Amen. Nothing about that. And this is how I want to close. How sad it is that God would be so faithful to give us weekly reminders and we still refuse to acknowledge Him. We still refuse to worship Him. We still refuse to magnify the God of creation and the Christ of our salvation. God, forgive us, because none of us are going to be without excuse. God will say, I reminded you every week. Let's pray.